Hey guys, welcome back to the Captain Fizz and Mask Guy show. As always, I am Captain Fizz.
And literally greeting you from the seventh moon of thunder, I am that Mask Guy.
And of course, once again, we are doing things a little differently. We are doing things by phone, because unfortunately, I have caught the...
You're in quarantine right now.
I have caught the flu bug this time, and...
You've got what is being referred to as the con flu.
You know, so many people joke and talk about that, and I'm starting to realize it is a legit thing. I literally spent all day yesterday, as well as today, feeling like death was a really, really good option. so much happened on Saturday with KeyCon, and a lot more than I originally expected, so it definitely drained me, and it was a good drain. I'll put it that way. It was by far one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever had to deal with. And if someone asked me if I would do that again, it would be yes in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I really, because of how sick I have been for the last month, I did very little preparation for KeyCon, so, I mean, we walked in blind. We had absolutely no idea what we were getting into. I promised my wife I was only going to be there for a couple of hours, and immediately regretted it. I was expecting something more along the lines of a traditional, comic book convention, and what they had there instead was more along the lines of, say, they had a bunch of, like, little seminars. I mean, for the brief period of time I was there, I took in a couple myself. One was for The Princess Bride, which I thought was pretty well done. And then I took in another one with you as well.
Yeah, that was actually Tom, with Tom Allison, which was basically him talking about growing up as an actor in Broadway and all that stuff, especially growing up in Winnipeg. We were really, really confused when we first walked in. We were unsure what we were walking into, what to expect. We started off our day having breakfast, which became this very entertaining moment where, as we're sitting there, eating breakfast, talking to this wonderful, wonderful lady that was sitting there with us, and really having a full con experience. We're sitting there watching Tom Allison and Tamsin McDonald walk in, grab their food, sit down at the table beside us, and I tried to not let out a whimper.
You were fanboying there for a moment. I actually thought you were going to jump up and go ask for their autograph.
You know, there was that initial thought in my head was, oh, okay, this is my moment. Like, I can go up and say something. But I'm like, okay, if I was in their shoes and I'm eating breakfast, the last thing I want is for someone to come up and bug me. So, and that is proper convention etiquette. If someone is eating or, as we mentioned with Sean on our previous episode talking about the Wild Prairie Furs, if someone is out of costume, be polite and courteous about that. You don't approach them, especially at a convention. It's, that number one rule. It is, I think, listed on almost every single convention's code of conduct, if I'm not mistaken.
I would venture to guess that it is.
So from there, we kind of started walking around. We actually we wandered into the game room hosted by GymCon, which was literally exactly how it sounds. It was a room filled with gaming and board games. You walk in, they had tables full of these board games, and they basically said if you saw a game you were interested in, even if you don't know how to play it, grab the game, bring it to a table, and someone will actually show you how to play. That was a unique experience in itself. Like, unfortunately, we didn't take them up on that offer just because it's obvious we had a very busy schedule for that day. I really wish we had because that would have been a neat idea.
Well, there was a Dungeons and Dragons game there. I don't recall the name of the game, but it takes place in the underground kingdom of the Drow. Reminded me a lot of the EverQuest books that R.A. Salvatore went off and wrote. I kept looking at this like, Driss the Warden, you know, and just, you know, getting kind of psyched up. And if, yeah, I mean, I'm right with you. I mean, if we had time, I would have sat down, I would have tried to play the game, but as is, we were trying to get ourselves orientated and trying to figure out what we needed to do. We were trying to meet up with our liaison, Amanda, to kind of figure out, you know, the best route to go at.
I have to point out was by far the best host that we've ever had to deal with. She literally was by my side the entire day, whisking me around. I felt like Cinderella at a ball by the end of the night. It was an absolute phenomenal experience. She was nothing but helpful and friendly and very informative. This whole experience at KeyCon and everything that we went through literally felt like this magical kingdom. You know, you see the hotel on the outside, but when you walk in, it's like a whole different universe, whole different world. It was... I'm ashamed to say that I have never heard of this convention before recently, because 34 years that they've been doing this, and they've perfected, in my eyes, everything that a convention, you know, should stand for. It's informative, it's educational, it's entertaining. You got, you know, things you can buy, you got the guests you can actually mingle with. It's everything you would absolutely want in a convention and more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I spent years, you know, trying to go off and write up a draft for a book, and it would have been great to have had this sort of community to go off and to bounce off ideas with and to be able to, you know, come up, you know, and to talk with every year. I can't believe that I never heard about this. Considering that I was kind of on the fringe, if you will, of the the rank community here in Manitoba. I was actually once a member of the Manitoba Writers Guild, and I never heard of KeyCon once. And I remember last year, I think it was about this time, we went to Swords and Sabers, and I just happened to bump into someone there. It might have been Amanda, it may have been someone else. And, you know, said, hey, I've never heard of KeyCon.
Yeah, it was Amanda that we ran into at Swords and Sabers, which was the start of a very business-like friendship, and it's been a wicked run.
Absolutely, and in her own words, it was one of Manitoba's best-kept secrets. And it really is, and, I mean... if I should ever go off into back into the writing, I definitely would want to go off into bring my stuff there to, you know, kind of get reviewed and get some advice. But I mean, I'm definitely going back next year. You know, depending on how my work schedule will be next year, I'll try to spend as much time there as possible.
I've actually already committed. I've already committed to the whole weekend, and now that I know there is a bunch of other stuff happening behind the scenes afterwards, I definitely plan to see if attending that stuff as well, and, you know, get a nap in between as well. There was a good 3 hours.
Wild experience. I mean, and again, I just wasn't there for very long. If you guys want to, you can actually go to our Facebook page. Just look up Captain Fizz and the Mask Guy there. And Captain Fizz actually has got a great video there for Tamin. Pretty much the entire, his entire presentation that he went off and did, talking about his career. And, I mean, I was awestruck just about, you know, how all the decisions he went off and led him to, you know, eventually, you know, we're talking about a guy that went off and performed at Stanford, which is a huge deal here in Canada. He's been on Broadway, and, you know, he's done television. and you know to find himself now doing Killjoys, which you know is a popular sci-fi series, and I mean it's just absolutely phenomenal the route that he's taken to becoming a television star.
Yeah, absolutely. I also I did videotape the closing ceremonies as well, where they actually announced next year's theme for KeyCon 35. Which will be magic and technology, which is a beautiful playoff of each other, because I had this conversation with somebody afterwards, one of the actual fan guests from next year's KeyCon. He's actually a magician, but as we were talking, we were discussing what is better, you know, technology or magic. But I've come to realize we need both to be able to function in today's world. You know, if you look at technology, yes, you know, you see technology, like the phones and that, but in the same sort of sense, it's magic of how it works. So, I can't wait to see next year's convention kind of come forward, and I definitely want to be there the entire weekend. I'm also working on fixing up the video for the first panel I actually sat in on, which I wasn't sure what to originally expect with, but it was absolutely phenomenal and definitely an eye-opener, and that was Women in Speculative Fiction, which was hosted by Kelly and Tamsin, Lindsay Kitson and Van Kunder, and definitely an eye-opener of how, you know, women are portrayed in not just movies, TV shows, but as well as in books and that, and how the authors themselves don't actually get to choose what their covers look like.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate. It seems to happen a lot. If you guys, anyone out there is familiar with Terry Pratchett, or even Harry Potter, a lot of the, if you check out the covers of those books, the English covers and the American covers are actually very different. And I know a lot of people here in North America tend to complain about the American covers of popular British books, because for whatever reason, when they come over here, the companies that go off and publish the books here go off and change the covers for whatever, you know, reason. I guess to put their own little thumbprint on it, if you will. Just seems absolutely ridiculous to me.
Well, and like the one thing they touched on during this that definitely I can kind of see, especially in TVs now, is the whole, you know, sexuality sells. And so often that when they're actually making a cover, they don't give the artists all, you know, of the book. They give them, like, maybe 10 paragraphs or, you know, a very small part just so they can design it. So that kind of shows what could possibly be wrong with not the writing, you know, aspect of the books, but maybe the art design and things like that. So it was definitely a very informative panel that I sat in on. I enjoyed every moment of it. Unfortunately, there was not very many guys in that panel, which, as I said, is very unfortunate. You could have learned so much from that. It was definitely an eye-opener. And then you were sitting in on the Princess Bride one, while I sat in on that one. You got any insight on that one?
Well, it really was a very small panel. There was only, I think, three of us sitting in with the panel, and they were just going over and just kind of discussing it. And there's actually, I'm not going to go into too many details, but there is the author. He went off and when he wrote the book, but he went off and said that he had found this manuscript by another author, and it was so boring and so long that he went off and kind of condensed it and, you know, got rid of all the boring parts. And there were people who actually went out to search for this book only to discover that he made that whole part up, and he was the actual, you know, he actually, you know, completely was responsible for writing the entire book and everything. And, you know, there was a bit of a quiz at the end as to, you know, famous quotes from the movie. And there was even talk of, you know, should they go off and do a remake The Princess Bride, like they've done in so many other films. And I mean, the consensus amongst the all of us was that they should never redo The Princess Bride, to even to try to recast anyone except for the two leads, and there would probably be absolutely foolhardy. And I mean, if you try to go off and to remake it with a whole new cast of characters, it would end up being almost a completely different movie because everyone would want to go off and do their own take on said characters.
Oh, and they would definitely try to modernize it way too much.
Yeah, and and what's so wonderful about The Princess Bride, though, is that it's kind of like a timeless movie. I mean, you go off and I mean, it's the story of a, you know, really is, it's a story within a story. There's the story of the grandfather, you know, played by Pierre Falk, going off and reading, you know, this book to his, you know, grandson, played by a young Fred Savage. And even if you look in the bedroom and everything, it looks like a kid's bedroom. I mean, it could be the same kid's bedroom from today as it was back in the middle of the 1980s when this movie was originally produced. And, you know, so, and then you have the fairy tale, and yeah, some of, you know, the special effects that went in are definitely a little dated and everything, and it looks kind of hokey to a certain degree, but, I mean, the movie still stands up today, and I don't want to go up and to see it, and, I mean, honestly, I mean, there's certain characters that I just can't imagine any of them. You know, being replaced, like, I can't, you know, Andre the Giant, this was one of his last movie roles. One of the last things he went off and did outside of professional wrestling. And, I mean, it wasn't brought up in during the panel, but, I mean, Andre literally was so weak doing this movie that there's a scene at the very end where he's supposed to catch a buttercup, you know, who jumps from a balcony. He actually needed help. Because he could not hold her up. That's how weak Andre was at the time of the movie. But he was so great in the role that he played. I can't imagine anyone being able to play him. I mean, you know, physically, there are very few people who are big enough to play him. And I mean, other than the Big Show, whose real name is Paul White, I can't imagine anyone being able to pull it off. And I don't even think. No offense to Paul White, I don't think he would be able to go off and to do it, and I'm not sure he would want to, just because, you know, of the magnitude of, you know, of Andre the Giant's performance and his entire career.
No, I completely agree. I do know that you actually, you took off shortly after that, and that was pretty much when my day started. My day became kind of a whirlwind, learning and seeing things that you would never, ever, you know, see in a million years. So after we both left Tom Talk, I went to a Game of Thrones roundtable, hosted by Sean Ennis. Now we've had, we've had some, you know, talking back and forth with this guy. Over the last little while, who was actually telling me about the multiple panels that he was actually running, Game of Thrones, Star Wars, as well as The Walking Dead. Unfortunately, I only made the Game of Thrones one because of the schedule that I was currently running at the time. So I got to sat in on this, and to hear this full room, we're talking 10, 15 people with who have seen the show, who have read the book, all these different things, talking about what they love most about this, what they expect to happen, and all these different things. It was phenomenal to see so much brainstorming in one room. And so many different ideas. You know, it was a beautifully run panel. It was so organized. It flowed so smoothly. And it incorporated everybody's ideas into one to kind of push forward, things forward. They had this map showing how far these four main characters have actually traveled throughout the map, and it's absolutely phenomenal. From there, I had a little bit of a break. By a little bit, I mean I think I ran to the bathroom. and then from there, I went to a WINSFA Senate AGM, which is basically they talk about you know, what's going on the last little while. It was open to the public. It was very informative, learning, you know, what their policies were, what they planned to accomplish, and all these different things. It was definitely amazing to see the other side of a convention. We're so used to be on the floor and, you know, interacting with, you know, with fans and things like that, but to see things being run behind the scenes and everything else that happens behind the scenes is absolutely amazing. Completely extraordinary. And then basically from there, I got rushed straight to the closing ceremony, which was, once again, another really wicked thing. They introduced all the guests. Unfortunately, Tamsin had already left for the day, so Tom was still there. They did a charity, they were raising a charity, basically chopping or shaving people's heads for charity if they reached certain markers. And that charity was actually to buy, I can't remember the specific name that I was told, but they're lights for the people who suffer from, it's like the depression you get from the lack of sunshine. Mostly in the winter. So that's a really, really awesome cause that they were supporting, that they were raising money for. And then I got to chill out upstairs in the suite rooms, which that's pretty much when my body started to fail me.
I'm surprised you didn't tell what you did. I know that, I mean, you saw me, you know, I was struggling, and I was only there for about an hour and a half, and I had to sit down. I was starting to have some problems breathing. This pneumonia I've been fighting is really taking a toll on my body. So I can imagine when you started messaging me about how tired you were, I wasn't surprised. I mean, you were going pretty hard. I don't think I could have physically been able to keep up with you and Amanda that day, even if I wanted to.
It was definitely an insane schedule. So it was a phenomenal experience. I will gladly do it again at, you know, any moment. It was so worth it. But we are going to take a quick music break.